Thanks for waking up with WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Mark Lawrence here at the anchor desk. Mr. Rob Sanders on the other side of the glass. He is why our guests get on the air. And he is also the individual who does the podcasting, making sure that all of our interviews are available on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Pocket Podcasts, all the podcast formats out there. He makes sure that that happens. On the news line with us now, Tom Butzler is back. He's a horticulture educator at Penn State Cooperative Extension up in Clinton County. Good morning, Tom. Thank you so much for calling in.
Good morning, Mark. Thank you for having me on.
Always glad to hear from you. Of course, tens of thousands of people know you as the Bee Man. Penn State has an online beekeeping course that is continuing to be very, very popular. I just ran into somebody else who said they had taken the course. Do you have any idea how many people have seen the Beekeeping 101 course that you offer online?
Yeah, right now we're up to tens of thousands. I mean, during the pandemic in 20 and 21, you know, a lot of people had some time on their hands, and there was great interest in pursuing new hobbies, exploring new ideas. So we had tens of thousands of people participate, and that keeps on going. There's just a lot of interest in it.
Well, yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, my lovely bride and I set up a beehive in our backyard, and it's better than watching TV. I could just sit down in front of that and just watch the bees in there. It's just fascinating to hone in on and to enjoy. Well, we're going to talk to you today about home gardens is sort of our main thing. I know from one of our good neighbors that the peas are available now. They gave us a basket of peas. What's available in home gardens? If you're harvesting or getting close to harvesting, what's out there right now in home gardens?
Just about everything. So this is what we call, this is Pennsylvania Produce Month. It's a kind of a celebration of all the local produce grown in Pennsylvania. It just starts coming in. We're at peak harvest, gardens and commercial vegetable growers, and it should be just about everything. So tomatoes are coming in, peppers, squash, you name it. Maybe some of your cool season crops are hurting a little bit. You know, some of your cauliflower and broccoli, this really hot, intense weather, that's going to hurt our cold crops. But other than that, our warm season crops are just busting. The other one I forgot to mention is sweet corn. You know, all these roadside stands are proclaiming, you know, local fresh sweet corn. So, yeah, great time to be in the garden. Harvesting what you got, that, you know, you put all that time and effort into planting in mid-May, and, you know, you kind of have to sit and wait there for a month and a half, 2 months before you really start, reaping your work. So, yep, this is it.
Well, how much water should you put on the garden? It seems like tomatoes, they like to dry out a little bit between waterings, but other plants just love to be moist all the time. How do you differentiate this, and how do you handle this?
I think there's two ways you could do that. I mean, you could do the finger test and basically, you know, put your finger down into that soil and see if it's just moist around the crown of the plant and slightly outward from it, where a lot of the feeder roots are. And, you don't want it to be bone dry, nor do you want it to be, you know, something like a mud pit where it's just sopping wet. So, you know, it's just kind of that in between. The other thing you probably could do, Mark, is just look and observe the status of the plant. I mean, if you start to seeing it wilt down, you know you're really in some dangerous territory. When you start seeing those type symptoms, your harvest and yield is going to start to be reduced. So look at the leaves, the color of the leaves. In addition, I talked about wilting down. You know, most of these plants should have a nice dark green color. And if you start seeing, you know, some pale look there, then you know you really need to put the water to it. The other thing, I guess, you know, you mentioned tomatoes. You know, one of the more common problems we see with tomatoes, you did mention they like it on the dry side. I mean, they can withstand some drier conditions. But when it's having trouble pulling water up from the soil, we typically get that blossom end rot on the fruit, you know, where at the bottom of the tomato, it will start rotting away. And, you've got a product that's just not, I mean, you can eat portions of it, but it's not something that, you know, looks very aesthetically pleasing. And that's a sign that your plant is having some water stress. And you'll see this blossom red end rot not only on tomatoes, but you can see it on eggplant and peppers and squash. So that's an indication that you're having some water issues and you need to get that water to those plants.
Tell me about the high heat. You said some plants are impacted by that.
You know, we're starting to see this more the past several growing season when we run into these really dry conditions. You know, we get these sunny days, and especially those days where it's sunny and windy. That wind is coming across those leaves and pulling out the water. And then you add on that sunlight, and that's pulling out even more water. And these plants are really stressing out quicker than usual. And I think we're going to have to start gardening a little differently. So, you know, we've always talked about some of these things, but I think more people are going to have to practice some of these things. Mulching, whether it's in the garden or in your landscape. Put down, you know, a 2-inch layer of mulch around your landscape plants to conserve that water. If you're in the garden, some people just, you know, they'll plow up that garden and they'll plant their, you know, tomatoes, peppers, or whatever. And then the soil is just exposed to the atmosphere and it will dry out so quickly. So maybe you need to look at some leaf litter or some dried grass or, you know, whatever you can to kind of shade that soil so you can just slow down that loss of water. But, you know, when we go back to the landscape, we may need to start looking at plants that are better suited for some of these drying out conditions. So, for example, you know, a lot of people like our native flowering dogwood, Cornus florida. And when you look at its native habitat, mostly it's an understory tree. So it's somewhat shaded, kind of protected from that drying sun. Now, we have brought that out from its native habitat and put it into open landscapes. You know, a lot of times you'll see it in a lawn or in a bed in a lawn, and it receives full sun. Okay, in the past, that's been able to withstand those types of conditions. But as we get into some of these hotter summers, droughty periods, maybe something like our common flowering dogwood is not going to be the best plant to put out in those open, sunny sites. And, you know, there's a range of options on plants that are better suited for, you know, drought-like conditions. And so, you know, you might want to look at, you know, forsythia. They can withstand a drought conditions. Junipers, bayberries. You know, there's a whole list. And Penn State has a fact sheet on those options. And, you know, you might want to look at some of the perennials, like purple coneflower, that can withstand some of our dry conditions. So I think people that are installing landscapes or changing over landscapes may want to reconsider their plant selection.
Well, and I know we chose a hawthorn tree for a street tree in front of our house, but every summer so dry, it hates all that dry weather and the hot. So, you know, maybe there would have been a wiser selection there.
Yeah.
So, well, and this is changing. Summers are getting warmer and drier. So, you know, what might have been the perfect tree for the right location another time won't be ideal this particular time. You say Penn State Extension is kind of monitoring the evolution of which plants and trees and so on might be ideal. Deal with our warmer climate.
Yes. Yeah. They have a fact sheet out there, and it's a list of heat and drought tolerant plants. And I can send you the link, Mark, and you can put it up on your site or, you know, some place your viewers can access that. But yeah, it's broken down into trees, shrubs, perennials, and annuals. And so, you know, for trees, it's a little hard because once trees are installed and they're there for several years, you know, you're hesitant to cut them down. So that's a little harder. Other than maybe if you're building, then you might want to look at that selection of trees and then you hand that list off to your landscaper. But things like perennials and annuals, you know, those can change over easily, especially the annuals. And the perennials can be taken out and some of those more hardy ones installed. You know, right before I got on, Mark, I checked out the a drought monitor map, and it's a map that kind of tracks drought in the United States. And when you look at what's going on across the country, the whole western half, almost from Mississippi westward, is extreme drought or heavy drought. Now, from eastward, it's a little more spotty, but there are parts of Pennsylvania that are starting to go into that drought territory. And that's mostly the northern tier coming down into Clinton and Lycoming, parts of Clinton and Lycoming County. Now, other parts of Pennsylvania are not there yet. But we can just continue to have days like we're going to have today. Today, I'm looking out my window. It's clear skies, sunny. low humidity, so we're going to have a little more dry heat. I mean, the humidity is going to pick up, but we're going to lose a lot of water today, tomorrow. So hopefully maybe some of these thunderstorms come in and kind of give us some relief. But, you know, these days they're pretty harsh on plants that haven't received water in weeks.
Yeah, you watch some of the flower plants. We have primarily flower gardens at our house, and they just some of the plants get so droopy in the afternoon. So as they try to cope with the heat, then they spring right back as evening comes along. All right, well, that's sound advice. Penn State Extension. What's the main website for any of the Penn State Extension activities?
I would go to extension.psu.edu. And that will take you to the extension site. And then if you wanted to just type into their search engine, you know, drought plants, and that should pop up.
All right, we have a moment left. So the spongy moth used to be called the gypsy moth. What's the status of that particular animal?
All's quiet now because, you know, the moths did their thing and have died off. But before they died, the male and female mated, and that female laid just eggs all over the place. So what's going to go on now, Mark, is that over the next couple months, DCNR and other individuals are going to start going out and counting the egg masses. And they're going to see how bad it is going to be next year. And then once they get a handle on, you know, the egg-laying capabilities of that female that, you know, that occurred this past month, they're going to start drawing up some plans on what land they're going to treat. Now, DCNR is only going to treat state land, so that would be your state forest, your game lands, state parks, and so forth. But large landowners, homeowners, private landowners can also do this, and there are some private contractors that will come in and maybe do some spraying on that land. But, yeah, it's quiet now. The spongy moth is in this egg stage for the next several months, and then they'll hatch out next spring and start doing their thing. And if you would go through central Pennsylvania about a month ago, you saw hillsides almost completely defoliated, brown. You go down those same areas, and it's just a wall of green again. And so those plants that were fed upon were able to put out a flush of new growth. However, Mark, if that occurs again next year, that stress 2 years in a row is really going to impact the health of those plants. And then you throw in these dry conditions, these drought conditions, which is also stressing the plant. You know, if action isn't taken either by man or nature, there are some viruses and the fungal organisms that will take on the spongy moth. If something isn't done to them, we could see some severe tree loss next year. So we'll have to see how this plays out.
All right. Well, thank you so much for the information. Extension.psu.edu. Tom, thank you so much for all the help and the information. We'll check in with you as time goes on. And fall planting's right around the corner, believe it or not. So we'll be talking about that. But thanks for the information. Thanks for being available.
Okay. Thanks, Mark. Have a good day.
Thank you. That is Tom Butzler, a horticulture educator, Penn State Cooperative Extension. Lots of folks. He's up in Clinton County and does presentations in person up there. So you can check out his schedule at extension.psu.edu, and he would just love to have you in the back row at one of his good classrooms.